Conway is the final speaker.
Good evening, comrades. Since this campaign began, I've spoken one-to-one with hundreds of members right around the country, and I've been really grateful for the chance to do it because I've learned an awful lot. But there are two things that have stood out to me, and I want to tell you a little bit about them. The first thing is that there is a deep feeling of hurt in the party. Members who have given their life's work have felt let down. We have all seen friends and colleagues lose their seats in local and European elections. We all put in months of work to try and prevent this happening, but we saw it coming. There was a sense, a strong sense, that the party had lost its way. We committed to trying to fix Ireland's economy, and we began to forget about the bottom line, Ireland's people. We know who they are. They are the men and women who get up every morning and go to work, perhaps bring their children to school, earn a living, and crucially pay taxes to the Exchequer. For it is these people, the generators of economic activity, that create the sustainable wealth that enable us to pursue nobler goals, to provide decent public services for those who need them, to ensure that healthcare and educational choices are available to all. These people, traditionally most likely to listen to us, have turned away because they feel so damaged, so squeezed by years of austerity, and they're holding us responsible. I think we have to face that fact. I think that the plethora of bewildering new taxes have made people feel that the only thing we're interested in is squeezing them. Those extra impositions weren't made to provide better services for our children, for our elderly, or with people with disabilities. Instead, essential services too have been cut without any strong visible sense of a bottom line. We may indeed have saved the economy, but along the way, we have been seen as forgetting those whose side we're really on. And that's why there are a great many citizens in Ireland today, citizens with a long, proud record and a tradition of voting for the Labour Party. And they've stopped. And they've stopped believing in us. They've stopped trusting us. And we have to win them back. Only then, when we have restored the trust of our own, can we begin to rebuild. But the second thing that I've learned is that there's a hunger in this party, a hunger to reconnect, a hunger to renew, and a hunger to get back up and fight. I'll tell you one thing, though, that members have said to me over and over again. This isn't about dusting ourselves down, forgetting about recent reverses, and getting on with business as usual. This is about change, a renewal, a radical change. Nothing less will do. Who are the people we have to reconnect with? Put simply, they're the people who have stopped trusting us. Our own people, our own members, our own voters. And if we want to reconnect with our own people, and that's the first and most urgent task facing the leadership of this party, we must connect with our core values. Our most central values are commitment to equality and to community. We need to stop using words like fairness as some kind of measure of our performance. Everyone can do fairness. The Labour Party must recommit to equality. That's not an easy thing to do. Equality, true equality, creates winners and losers. The people who have benefited most from inequality in our society over many years won't welcome a stronger Labour Party. Because equality sets out a way to find better ways to redistribute wealth than we have right now. And equality refuses to accept poverty and disadvantage as a necessary fact of life. But we already know in this party that if a society is built on a tolerance for inequality, then nobody is valued. An equal society simply doesn't allow discrimination to happen. It doesn't allow people to be labelled, and it doesn't treat them as second-class citizens. And it does not tolerate poverty and hardship without making it a national priority. We have to persuade people again that our commitment to community and equality will prevail. Respect is also warranted, and a respect means that a government that is humble and humane, a government that learns how to implement even the toughest decisions on the basis of equality, a government that is committed to building and sustaining hope, a government that will never ask families to drive themselves into debt to feed their children or to provide for their children's education and health needs. We have been seen to fail these tests despite our best efforts, and we have to face that. Let me admit something to you. Like my colleagues, I'm ambitious and I want to serve my party and my constituency in government. But right now and for the remainder of this term, we need something different. Not a minister or a junior minister shackled by the bounds of cabinet secrecy. A voice that acts as an unwavering bridge between the party and the government. I want to be that independent voice. And if I can win your support, I will not accept a cabinet office or junior ministerial position. I will represent the party and my constituency as a backbencher who's been given special responsibility by the party. We have a huge fight on our hands, but we've shown in the past that Labour is never better than we are fighting for our values. I'm asking for your support so we can, as a strong, united party with new energy and commitment, take that fight on.
Okay, thank you, Ciara. Thank you very much.